Live from New York, it's Dr. Diva.
Hi, good morning. Hi.
I am so thrilled to announce I'm no longer in a Yerba Mate desert.
Okay.
I am recording live with a Yerba Mate. This is, after I consume this, that will be 300 milligrams of caffeine.
Well, you are in a time difference, though. It's 2 hours. It's almost noon there.
Of course, it's
right?
Noon. Yeah, I have 300 milligrams of caffeine. Why not?
I've never seen this before. Is the brand just called Yerba Mate?
I have never heard of it in my life. It's actually called Yerba. Before anything else. I did yesterday. I had a mushroom elixir, non-psychedelic.
Okay.
It had lion's mane. And then halfway through drinking it, I kind of started freaking out because the other like functional mushroom it had was cordyceps, which I think is very, very normal. But in The Last of Us, cordyceps is like the type of mushroom that turns people into zombies. And so there's just like the mentally ill part of my brain, like couldn't forget that. And so like you get like my paranoia about becoming a zombie mixed with like the caffeine that it had in it. And I was just sort of like kind of like anytime I felt just like a little something, I was kind of like, huh.
Was it good though? Did it taste good?
Yes.
I sometimes can't have, I think I can't have ashwagandha. There's something I can't have that makes me feel really sad.
I had 300 milligrams of ashwagandha yesterday.
Wait, did I tell you this? I think I told you I like had dated that guy that ran the matcha bar on Sunset before
you
it shut
withheld
down.
This from me.
This was the first man I dated after I thought I was gay. And so
In
LA, I moved here and I
was
met
this the guy
right
who lived
away.
In the church?
No. He lived in front of the Scientology building. So in his apartment,
in
if
a
we
home?
Were like having no, in his in a real apartment.
Okay.
But I will say there wasn't any cups or silverware or anything because he would just consume matcha bar stuff. And I remember the day I went over there and he was like, oh, I quit today. And I was like, oh, he's like, but I feel kind of sick. And I was like, why do you feel sick? He's like, well, I feel like to get back at them. I ate a lot of ashwagandha and I ate, he's like, and he kept like burping.
He's like ODs on matcha.
Yeah. And for me to be like, this is why I came back. Like I came back to men for this. But you better believe this is what I'm drinking
That's
today.
That's the nastiest looking thing I've ever seen in my life. Is that just chia seeds and water?
No, the color that you're looking at is because it's blueberries and matcha. I put matcha powder in here. I put matcha powder. I put a lot of stuff in here. It's matcha powder, super greens, blueberries, yogurt, chia seeds.
Wait, there's yogurt in that? That looks very thin.
I don't put a lot of yogurt. I just put just enough.
How much is just enough yogurt?
Like a spoonful and a half.
A spoonful really of yogurt makes the matcha go down. Matcha go down. Matcha go down.
I really shouldn't be having that much yogurt. That's why I just do a little bit.
Yeah, just a touch. Have I told you about my vitamins?
No. So, I have to take mine. More talking.
Take your vitamins. So I'm someone who I have to take gummy vitamins or else I won't be eating them. And so I opened the lid. The lid, the interior of the lid has been burned.
What?
And I'm like, what? And so like I open the vitamins and
are
they like
Amazon? Where'd you get these?
And so like I open them and like the gummy vitamins look normal inside, but each time I like eat them, it tastes like they have been burned. It tastes like the scent of something that has been burned. And I'm like, what happened? Was there a factory fire? Well, like what happened?
Wait, you mean it was burned? Like there's a hole in it or it like was singed?
It was singed.
Did you order it directly from the store or you just ordered it?
No, I do a subscribe and save.
I don't know. That sounds like I think they put something in there.
Well, but now I'm like, I mean, you hear so many things about like metals being in like these vitamins and I'm like, well, mine actually does taste like burnt. So yeah. It tastes like burnt.
It tastes like burning. The smell of gummy vitamins is like so complicated for me. Like I'm like I can the smell of vitamins is always kind of rough, but the gummy vitamin smell is like I can't.
My thing is I can't
handle it.
I'm not someone who's regimented because like the thing with vitamins is that you have to take them on a full stomach. But like sometimes I'm like I just don't have enough of a schedule that I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this and then this. And well, and then if you fucking add oil pulling, you have to oil pull on an empty stomach. Then you can't eat anything 30 minutes after that. And then you have to like eat a meal and then you have to take your vitamins after that. And it's like, okay, but also I'm going to like, what if I go to the gym in the morning? What if I go for a walk? It's like, it can't. So I can't set myself up to have to take my vitamins on a full stomach. So I have to take the gummy vitamins because I don't need to take those on a full stomach. And also they've got probiotics in them.
Okay.
So I can sort of do it at any time of the day. I'm setting myself up for success, but they are burnt.
I don't know how anyone's doing. I don't know how anyone's doing oil pulling. Like oil pulling to me, also because I know we need to get going. But I'm just saying, with oil pulling, I've never been able to do it regularly. And also, I was reading that if you do it a little bit wrong, it can go in your chest. Like the
oil
can go
into
your
lungs. Done this. I've done this.
And it's bad. That's bad.
I notice whenever I do it, it feels like I never get all of it out. It feels like I just have a layer of oil on the back of my throat. And I feel like all day I'm kind of going. It's like whenever your dog's like not fully choking on something.
Yeah.
And you're like, are you going to throw up right now? But then they don't throw up. That's kind of where the space pulling. I live in.
Yeah, I want to be someone that does it, but I don't like how it makes me feel, and I also don't understand when I'm supposed to do it. But that's a food for thought for another time.
Speaking of not understanding when we're supposed to do it.
The first time I saw Cameron, I think the first time we met was on Sophia's show at the Lyric, and I think you were opening, and I said... this person's energy is electric. Wow. I said I gotta see more of this. And then I think you lived in Baltimore and we talked about that in Philly because I was like, oh, they have similar vibes to me a bit. But we just think you're so funny. And also I like talking to you. It's fun to talk to someone that also like not just comedy, but I feel like I always love talking to you about like healing type stuff or like what you're doing, because I always, it's benefit, like when you told me you're getting massages from Oren, our previous guest, I was like, oh duh, and then I started getting massages from Oren, game changer. But thank you for being on.
Thanks.
Welcome
for
to the chat, Cameron Farmer.
Thank you. Hi.
Also crazy, our next guest is a Baltimore diva.
Who?
Do you know Arisha? Well, I imagine they will upload in order, but Arisha Skidmore Williams. She's in LA now, but she's like previously Baltimore. So
It's small. Are
you from Baltimore, Kim?
No, I'm from Pasadena, California. Local.
I love Pasadena. Local.
Yeah, you know, growing up there a little different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little haunted.
That's fair.
What was the experience growing up in Pasadena?
Really bad. I went to like an all-girls school of like really rich girls, and I wasn't white and I wasn't rich. So it was kind of tough. And I also, turns out, was trans as well. So maybe Oren also went to an all-girls school. It's something about it where it's like when someone's like, you're a girl, and you're like, well.
You're like, let me think about that, actually.
I don't know. Yeah.
Was it religious, too, or just...
No, it was
just girls.
It was just girls. It was liberal.
Why was it just girls if it wasn't religious?
I don't know. I think it was started in, like, 1915. So I think it was, like, liberate women, like, suffragettes kind of shit. And then, I don't know. It just was like, be a well-rounded. It's like a Mona Lisa smile vibes. Like,
That really takes me places.
Yeah.
I haven't said that in a while. I haven't said Mona Lisa smile vibes in a while.
Yeah. And I was there 12 to like 17. I was there 6 through 12. So bad. So the worst time to be around like girls.
Was there like, did you within that like find like your own like little group, or was it just bad?
I had my own little group. We were like,
was there like an art teacher who like, you know, like it was like the art teacher's actually cool, or was it just bad?
Every teacher that I loved, like I had two, both got fired. So I had a history teacher.
Was there like a scandal, or like why did they get fired?
Well, my history teacher, I guess, was fucking parents, and I didn't know.
Someone has to.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
And then it was actually my chemistry teacher, but the girls below, like the grade below me, didn't like him, so they got him fired. That was something that happened a lot, like students would be like, I don't like him, and then the teacher would get fired.
Because their parents, were wealthy.
Like, we're paying money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
I went to a Catholic school, but just for kindergarten, and
yikes!
And
that somehow feels worse.
The nuns were so it was really intense. They really were scary to me. But also, I was trying. I think I was doing weird stuff. So I think
that tracks.
Like, I was, like, I think, like, eating acorns or some shit like that. You know what I mean?
That like, sounds like you were being in kindergarten.
Yeah, yeah. I'm out here being like, that was really weird of me. Like, 5 years old. I was like, she was...
To hear the nuns in regards to school is not great. That's exactly what like,
Annie, I feel like you need to reconnect with your nuns. I feel like that would be healing for you to like go back and do like a docuseries where like you sit down with the nuns.
With those two nuns. I actually thought from ages like 7 to 10, I was like, I thought I was going to become a nun because I would always make out with this girl, like we play this game, you know, and we'd make out, and then and I like convinced myself I mean this is kind of sad because I was like, oh, I can't be a person in my home, I need to go be a nun.
Yeah. So,
because no one will. And I literally would look at my family every night at dinner and be like, I'm gonna miss them when I'm a nun. But I don't go to church anymore.
Where like my like parents live, I like was just recently down there, and the only good coffee shop is like a faith-based coffee shop. Wow. Which is like, but it was
what's
like
it
well, I'm not gonna say it on the pod because of what I'm gonna say after this, but basically it's like the coffee is really good, and so it was like kind of like I'll go, but like even though like the vibe is like everyone's reading their Bible inside. And then I was getting dinner with a friend from high school who was like, yeah, did you know that a gay couple got asked to leave for holding hands inside the coffee shop?
Oh my god.
And it was like
I've never heard of a faith-based coffee shop. That's like
they're all over they're always called like Crossroads or like things. Yeah. Like that's not the name of this coffee shop. But it sucks because like down there, like my two options for coffee are obviously that place and like Starbucks. And it's like so they're actually both evil. And in a way it's like one's like funding genocide and the other's like kicking out gay people. And it's like, what do I do? You know what
You're
I
like, mean? Daddy needs Jaffa.
And also there's no yerba mate and there's no yerba mate. So it's like, actually, what am I supposed to do? Kill myself?
Is yerba mate your, it's like your, if you had to choose top caffeine, you're choosing yerba mate. Right now, at this point in your life.
Well, how much time do we have?
Well, not enough, I guess.
Here's the thing. No, because I need more caffeine than that.
Than yerba mate?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
No.
We always talk about caffeine, Cam. What do you do?
I am off caffeine.
Tell us.
Speak to this.
I went off coffee October of 2021, I think.
I was working at a coffee shop.
And then I went off caffeine February of last year.
Whoa, how does it feel? How do you get anything done?
It's amazing. I just wake up and I go about my day. I am having kombucha right now, but it is like just a tiny bit of, just a little bit of caffeine. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you first went off, so I tried going off caffeine last year for like 2 weeks and I felt so sad. I felt devastated. Did you feel that? And if so, what did you do?
Well, the thing is I was microdosing mushrooms. And what happened was that when I was also doing caffeine, I was losing my mind. And I was like vibrating and way too energetic. And it was making me feel crazy. And I was like, maybe I need to stop. Because I was going matcha. That's why I went from like coffee to like.
That's what I do.
And it was so good. And I was like, three a day. And then I was like, I don't think I can sustain this. So then because I had the mushrooms, it was like, it was fine.
So wait, are you still doing mushrooms to like get through life? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every
so you're not like just like fully raw dogging reality.
No. I'm mushroom. I'm a big pothead, but I am taking a break right now.
Yeah.
Until the 20th. Until 420.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Are you guys doing a show? Are you doing bong hits?
No. I think we did a show. Because it's our anniversary also. And we did a show last year and the year before. And I'm like, I can't. I'm like stressed out the whole time. I'm not present. We're going to the Renaissance Fair.
That'll be so much fun. Come. I've never gone.
Come.
You're going on? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I told Oren too. So guest of the pod. Wow. Friend of the pod.
Friend of the pod.
If you want to fly, I'll take you. I've never been.
I was going to say, I like famously don't experience FOMO, but I'm kind of getting FOMO right now.
You should come just for Saturday.
I have like a costume idea I want to do for Ren. I want to make,
oh God.
You know, when they're, in like the town square jail and their hands are through.
Yes.
I'll put fake arms through it so I can walk around all day and I don't have to hold my arms up.
That's really smart.
So I think that's something I want to get working on. Okay. I should probably start working on it now.
Is there a backstory as to what led to the imprisonment?
I did just think it'd be funny at first to put my real arms in there. And then someone told me, they were like, you're not going to have a good time if your arms are up the whole time.
Yeah.
But it was more so, I think just sort of like, you know, like being a woman. Yeah. And,
it was performance art. It's a political statement.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, Annie, thank you for starting that conversation.
Thank you so much.
We were kind of getting into it with the church stuff, but I'm curious about, but then we got into the body stuff, but I'm like, spiritual. We always like to talk about things that we're doing for our spirit. How's your spirit, Jacob?
Well, I did order a prayer candle off of Amazon, which does feel like, I was like, what kind of?
Not Etsy?
Not Etsy, because that in a way feels like worse, because it's like Amazon, I know there's dark energy attached to this. There's comfort in the knowing that like I'm going to have to do some work before I light this flame. Towards like Etsy, it's like, I don't know. It's like the devil you know or the devil you don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The comfort of the knowing.
And at least like it feels with the Amazon prayer candle, it feels more like this is like, oh,
that's such a crazy sentence.
It was like, this is like a global evil. And so it feels less like pinpointed into me, towards like the Etsy potent alleged evil feels like it could like really be like, you know, like honed in.
No. I have to say no to that theory. That's wild.
Did you screen it? Like, did you just type it in and do the first one that came up, or was
it
there
the
process?
Cheapest one?
Oh, no. Babe, that's not a candle. That's not going to be a candle.
And I can't change, even if I try. A psychic told me that Archangel Michael has been very present recently. So I was like, I guess I should light a candle. What else am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Okay. I still want to take you to the candle place. Cam, there's a candle place here in LA, like in East Hollywood, where they put a spell on your candle.
No, I don't want
that. And it's like, okay.
Well, see, here's the thing. I kind of feel like because I'm like, I don't know that person. If a machine poured this, the machine's evil versus like that person's energy.
I feel that. Okay, I'm understanding now.
Yeah.
I'm understanding too. I don't like it, but I understand.
I understand. Yeah. I don't want is it like a white person putting the spell on the candle?
Annie.
I think she's Australian.
Yeah. Okay, so no.
Worse. That's even worse.
Absolutely not.
And I can't change.
Even if I tried.
Even if I wanted to.
I have Botanicas near me, so that's where I get my candles. That feels pure. It feels connected.
Do you have like a prayer practice or a meditation practice, or what do you do to like feel connected?
I will say a lot of my spiritual practices are private.
I love that.
But
that's all.
I do. Yeah, I pray pretty often, meditate pretty often. And then there are some like tarot people that I'll watch. There's this, So there's this woman named Big Empress Energy.
Oh my God, I'm writing that down.
She's incredible.
Oh my God.
She's really amazing. She's so tapped in. And she, for the most part, will do like a weekly, like at the top of the week, like live stream that she uploads to YouTube. And it's just her pulling for the week. And it's always just spot on. And I love her.
Wow.
And then sometimes near the like new or full moon, she'll like do some extra, like, here's your horoscope for the new moon. Here's your horoscope for the full moon. And she'll go by sign, like astrological sign by sign. And I really appreciate her. And she's pretty foundational to me.
There's What's your sign?
I'm Virgo, Aries moon, Scorpio rising, and I have a stellium in Leo.
Whoa.
Cam, I feel that you're tapped into astrology, and I feel like I have a question. Okay, so I feel like there's schools of thought of either you're like your rising or your sun. Like, because it's like the sun would be Virgo, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, but then like we have Chani saying, no, 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 I want you to be thinking about your rising.
I've got the book.
Like, so what's your opinion on that?
I mean, I understand why she says you're rising, because she uses whole sign houses, which is a way to, it's like a house system to look at like your birth chart. And when you look at your first Pearl, when you look at, she doesn't like hearing about this. She's not tapped in.
Her vortex is not in the receiving mode.
Pearl's like, I'm actually at my limit. I'm hitting a boundary at this moment.
I can't tell if she's about to talk. Or...
I want to know.
It's still going. It's still going.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So like with whole sign, when you look at your ascendant, your first house, it kind of just like... It's like a, it dictates sort of like where all the other signs are going. So it's like a better, I guess, look at the wheel itself. But I honestly like separating everything. Astrology is so like amorphous and nebulous and like really works with all of the energies that are kind of constant. So it really does feel like separating them will give you like a better indication of stuff, but it's just nice to, I think, look at it all as a whole.
Do you do astrology readings for people?
Yeah.
Plug it. That's why we're here.
Yes, you can schedule on my website, CameronFarmer.com. And I have a scheduler, and I think I do Tuesday through Sunday now. I have like availability mostly like, what do I do? 11 to 2.
Is it just like a chart reading or like a...
Yeah, we can do whatever. I do... I mean, I'm still new, so right now I'm like, we'll do whatever. But at some point I'll have to like probably be like, this much for this much, this much for this much. But like we'll do like birth chart, or like we can look at transits, like upcoming things that are happening. Or I'm going to do my friend's on Sunday of just like her solar return, so her birthday, and look at the year ahead from that. So it's like really whatever anybody wants, we can work it out.
I'm in the midst of my Saturn return.
Halfway there.
It's hard.
Halfway there.
I thought that it, I don't know why, but I thought it ended at a certain point, and then I realized I was still in it. I think my, because it ends around like 32, right?
It's, it depends.
Whoa, I think I didn't realize mine, it was that long.
Mine started when I was 28 and ended at 31. So Aquarius, Saturn went into Pisces like February or March of last year. And that's when we finished up. And then I think it retrograded a bit and then went back.
Our solar returns, and this is it based on like your actual, like you specifically, or is it based on the year you were born? Like, it's like, is it based on like the month too?
Yeah. So solar return is just like, looking at the chart when your sun is conjunct the sun in the sky.
Okay.
Yeah. So it gets like really specific, but it's normally like the same rising sign for the most part, because it's like the same time of day that you were born. So it's, it's looking at the,
When and how
I'm going to be booking you.
Yes, do.
When and how did you sort of, like, when did your astrology journey sort of, what was the genesis of that?
Yeah, I think because I grew up in LA, it was always very, like, around. Yeah. And I was, like, a big, like, when I went to, like, college, really into Susan Miller. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She's, like, girl, she's, like, 90s power suit, like, sort of vibe. Yeah. And then I just was, like, always, like, really into it, and then started doing this web show on this website, Eternal Family, where I was, like, what if I, like, gave astrological advice? Which now, looking back, I'm like, I was out of my depth to be doing that. I actually was not prepared. But I went off of people's, like, sun, moon, and rising. And then that turned into a character. And then there is an astrologer in the clown community who's been doing it for, like, 13 or 15 years. And I was, she, like, does Blair Bogan. She does, like, classes. And so last year I had all this money because I was in a car accident the year before. And I was like, well, maybe I'll pay.
Congratulations.
For Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I was like, maybe I'll take these classes because I can afford it. And then it just was like, and then it just was on. And so I was just taking the classes with like no real goal in mind. I just wanted to learn more. And then I think like halfway through last year, or maybe even it was like fall, Blair was like, you should be doing charts at this point. Because I, like, bought a $200 software.
you were, like, fully investing. You're, like, I'm investing.
For, like, myself. And she's, like, maybe use that.
Yeah.
So, and then it's just kind of been, it's changed my entire life. I love it so much.
Do you read tarot as well, or?
I read for myself. I, like, I took, like, a tarot workshop last year, and I was like, maybe I'll do both offerings, but I think there's just so much that I want to learn about astrology, and I just want to commit fully to that. And then, but, like, if people show me cards, I'll be like, oh, yeah, that means that. Okay, the sun card, the things are on the way. Wow, bad tea. So it's like I can have a conversation, but I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
It's so fully involved.
And then, more. Yeah, can you actually do that closer to the mic?
And it's like, I do, it feels like someone chooses like one or the other and then is like sort of knowledgeable about the other.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
What's the a jack of all trades is a master of none?
Aziz Ansari.
actually our next guest on the pod.
Yeah, it's like, but there's like, my husband is always like, I'm looking it up right now.
Your husband
rocks. He's so amazing.
You have a good husband.
He's so amazing.
What's your husband's vibe?
He's,
you're saying, what's his name?
Okay, it's, sorry. A jack of all trades is a master of none, but oftentimes better than a master of one.
I didn't know they've been hiding that.
Yeah.
They've been hiding that.
Well, I was talking to him. This is his vibe. He was like, have you noticed that all of these like little sayings take out, like make it more capitalist and take out like the socialist or anarcho-socialist vibe? So like, I think even like curiosity killed the cat, but something brought him back again or something like that.
Wait. I can't get on my phone because of our tech.
Here, I'll look it up.
I need to know this.
Wow. This is, I gotta tell, now I have to tell mine.
But satisfaction brought it back. Yeah, curiosity killed the cat, but satisfaction brought it back.
Wait, so that completely changes the meaning.
Exactly. So it's like, don't be curious. Don't like have your interests spread out. Like it's all those like capitalist ideals. So he's like, so.
Damn.
Yeah.
This actually just changed everything.
It changes everything.
Changed the podcast. I think this changed the podcast.
I think it changed the world.
Whoa. And we can change.
How did you meet your husband?
He was co-hosting an open mic, my first open mic.
Tale as old as time.
In Baltimore?
In Baltimore. And then I was like, literally, I was experiencing love at first sight with him.
Oh.
And we were friends for about a year where he was like, no, I think it's just platonic. And I was like, okay, then why are we wrestling at 2 a.m. almost every night? And why am I sleeping over on a mattress on your floor?
Yeah. I love that it was love at first sight.
It really did feel that way for me.
And you guys have some kitty cats,
we
right?
have three cats.
Oh.
They're the same litter. Names? CW.
Wait, so they're siblings?
Yeah.
Oh,
I love them so much. Oh. It's CW. There's Butterscotch, but we only call her Miss Girl.
Okay.
And then Triangle.
That. Triangle. Oh. I love that. How long
I
have
love
you
just and... a noun. I love just yeah. a noun.
It's just who he is.
How long have you and your husband been together?
Oh my gosh, we've been together 8 years and known each other for 9 years, and then we got married on the 20th. It'll be 2 years.
Whoa, well, congratulations. Yeah. That's coming
Thank
up.
Thank you. Yeah, it's so weird because I literally met him when I was 23 years old.
Whoa. Yeah.
And it's like kind of fucked up that I was like a child when we met. And now I'm like, what the hell? We were like
up.
Kids. It was really fucked up. But we're poly. We're open. And
you're like, because, I'm plugging this.
Because I'm gay. So I will be plugging that I am gay.
Yeah, please plug your open relationship. Yeah.
We do need to make that a segment for the guests to plug their own. I actually think almost all the single guests we've had are, yeah. Hell yeah.
It's, you know, I feel, we're not looking, but I'm always open.
Have you that. Guys been, and it's okay if like you don't want to talk about it, have you guys been polyamorous like throughout the entirety of your relationship? Or is that something that you sort of, at a certain point, like came to?
Yeah, no. When I first met him, I was a straight woman. And then as I felt, honestly, unconditional love for him, I started taking that inward and was like, I don't think I'm straight. I actually know I'm not. Yeah. And then I was like, I actually don't think I'm a woman. I think I might be nothing. So,
yeah.
And I think when I was discovering that, and also he was like, I've only had two other boyfriends before him. One was fucking horrible. And then the other one was like, I was in college. And I had only slept with five people, those three guys, and then two women when I was blackout drunk. And I think I was just sort of like, I know I'm gay now, and I haven't had a lot of other partners at all, and I feel like I've missed out. And so it was like maybe a conversation over a year where we like got there. And it really was like, we love each other so much. Being with somebody else or like involving ourselves in something else like really won't change that. And it also feels like more expansive to just like open up instead of like restricting like you're mine.
Yeah.
And so then that was like, okay, maybe we can hook up with other people. And then just over time, it's like, look, if you fell in love with somebody else, what the fuck does that have to do with me? Truly nothing. Yeah. It won't change our relationship at all. And so then we were like, okay, I guess we're poly, but like, have I dated anybody else? No. Did I try and it failed miserably? Absolutely. And then it's like, I've slept with a couple other people, but we're like, we're not like seekers. We're not like, hey, we saw you. Do you wanna come hang out? It's very like, if it happens, it happens. But I think just having that like relief of tension, it just like makes it so much easier to just like coexist and love each other.
That's like, I feel like that's the first time I've heard it explained in a way where I'm like, oh, I like, because I think, yeah, it can be, I mean, everyone has their different approaches to it or why they do it, but I really love what you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's just free love, baby. That's like, it really just feels like, oh, love is like something that just like makes things bigger. So like, why stop that? And then also Yeah, I think it just takes stress away. Like, I don't know. I want him to be happy. And if that means including someone else in his life, then that's, like, actually cool. And he's my best friend. And we were friends for, like, so long before we started dating.
Friends who wrestled.
Who wrestled. It was so... like, it really was so homoerotic. Where it's like, maybe Cam's not a woman.
So how did the wrestling... begin? Like, how does, because Annie and I haven't wrestled yet.
Yeah.
And no. So I've kind of tried to imagine in what context, like, Annie and I would be, like, wrestling. You know what I mean?
I feel like if we ever tried to wrestle, you would be like, stop. Like, you would be like, get off of me. Or I would be like, why aren't you, like, touching me enough? Like, I think you're... I don't think we could ever wrestle.
Yeah.
How did your wrestling start?
I think there was a lot of sexual tension. I think it was like two bros like shoving each other, and then it became like we're drunk and now we're wrestling.
I get so mad if Sean tries to tickle me, it does piss me off because he's stronger than me.
Yeah.
Not to quote one of my own tweets, but literally last night I tweeted, I would rather be shot at point blank range than tickled.
See, that's what I'm saying. I know that if I try to tickle you, you would be like, stop it now.
I kicked my grandpa in the face because he tried to tickle me as a child. And I was just like, that's going to be my boundary later.
Colin and I will try to tickle each other every day, but we use our safe word to stop, and our safe word is RuPaul Charles. So I'll tickle him until he says RuPaul Charles on tickling, and you have to be very specific.
That's so funny.
We
had to stop tickling because I think I started. I can't believe we're talking about this.
I love it.
I think I was using tickling as like a form of violence for a little bit. Like if Sean made me mad and I wanted to hit him, I would like tickle him really aggressively, and then he would do it back, and I'd be like, stop!
You're like, you can't tickle me because I know the place where my tickling is coming from, and my tickling is coming from a place of violence right now.
And now you're hitting me, and now you're hitting a woman. And so now whenever it starts to happen, he has to be like, what's really wrong?
Oh, God.
And then if he starts to tickle me, I say, we don't do that anymore. Mm. We don't do that anymore. So, wow, tickling is complicated.
It is complicated.
Title of app, tickling is complicated.
Also, like, the word tickling is what it is. You know,
tickling's,
I just realized that.
It's, like, perfectly named, but also just, like, even the name itself is so perverted.
Yeah.
Tickle. Yeah. Like when someone's like, oh, do you have a little tickle in the back of your throat? And I'm like, don't talk about the back of my throat right now. That's disgusting.
Dude, my friend, Cam, my friend just had a baby, triple Scorpio, born on a Scorpio moon. And I tried to tickle her the other day. She hit me.
Yeah.
Hit me.
Good. As she
That's
should.
A boundary child.
Yeah.
She doesn't even cry. She screams. When she's mad, she just, it's like, you know, she's just like...
What a gift.
She's going to be so cool. She's going to be really cool.
Okay. Was it the Scorpio new moon that they were born?
It was a November.
Yeah. And they're triple Scorpio, so it was a new moon. Wow. Okay. That babe is really going to do some stuff.
Yeah.
A disruptor.
And she's beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's the most important part. Yeah.
Well done.
Cameron, I'm a Libra, Gemini moon, Aquarius rising. What am I going to do?
Oh, that's all air? Whoa. Yes. So you're up here.
Yeah.
We're trying to get a free chart reading. I'm like, Cam, hypothetically, what would you do?
So let's say there's someone.
I'll be doing a private session with you, Cam. Okay. Wait, Allie, our producer, just booked an appointment with you.
Okay, yay!
So.
I'm so excited.
It's already working.
Cool. I'll confirm later today.
Something I wanted to touch on that Annie had kind of mentioned, whenever we were like booking people. Cam, do you have a relationship with reality television?
Reality TV was such a part of my life for so long. And yeah. I loved it. I was a huge housewife head. I was on Bitch Sesh. I was on an episode.
Wait, what? I need to go look at this.
And I recently, like over last year, cannot watch it anymore because it makes me physically ill.
Was there a franchise that did it? Was there
It was Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. It was Real Housewives.
Salt Lake, really?
So dark. It's just so dark.
Well, I guess that would have been pre... Was it The Gin? Because it was pre-Monica, right?
Third season when it started and Whitney was just talking about like her family and like...
Oh, yeah.
It just is all just too... it's just too much. And I used to get so much pleasure out of just, like, honestly, I would just relax and bathe in these, like, white, rich women just screaming at one another about the most petty things. But as our world is just, like, completely collapsing and dying, and these people have so much fucking money, and it's, like, I'm sitting there watching them argue about the most, like, trivial bullshit, I just can't do it anymore. I can't consume it anymore. And it makes me sad because I miss it all the time.
It feels like less of an escape than it used to.
Yes. It used to be an escape. Yeah. And now it just feels like so, like, everything is fucked up. Like, it's just like yelling. Like, I want to see Kyle and Morgan. Like, I want to see the destruction of that marriage that I've been watching.
Yeah. Well, like, they're showing more of it on Buying Beverly Hills than they are on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And it's so interesting because, like, Mauricio from... Because I, like, I caught up on Buying Beverly Hills just to, like, just to get more information, because Kyle barely touched on it on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
That makes sense.
And it's, like, he was actually talking about it on Buying Beverly Hills and talking about it with his children. And it was so, I just felt it was more candid.
Yeah. Well, I bet also she has such a strange relationship with those women. I think she's just more guarded around them, which she should be. They, like, ruined her relationship with both her sisters, which I think also is already fucked. I think I'll talk about off camera my theories about that family.
Whoa.
But I think it's incredibly dark. And I think there was always going to be tension, but I think that show kind of has ruined her relationship with them even further.
That makes sense.
So I think it makes sense. Yeah. And her, I mean, her chart is a beautiful chart. It's really gorgeous. Yeah.
Really? Oh, I'm sure she would love to hear that whenever she listens to this.
Yeah, I hope she books an appointment.
Can you imagine how major that would be if Kyle Richards booked an appointment through you?
I would be so happy. I would change her life.
I think you would. I don't think it's far off. I don't think we're that far removed.
Yeah.
I think that amongst us, I think,
Annie, are you someone unwrapping a candy? Or a lozenge?
What if I was just eating a butterscotch?
It sounds like you're like doing it on the mic. You're like an ASMR.
But that's good to know that the mic is that good.
It's
you know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
As of the recording of this yesterday, Real Housewives of Potomac star Candace Dillard Bassett announced her pregnancy. And she also, like, prior to that, announced that she was taking a hiatus from the show. And I'm like, of course she's taking a hiatus from the show and then announces she's pregnant, because she, like, that show is so toxic that I wouldn't want her carrying that child while filming, especially with Gisele Bryant. Wait, what are your feelings on the Potomac girls?
Karen is the best. Karen is just a beautiful, incredible.
Well, she just got
a
DUI.
Hell yeah! Okay, wild child. Yes. Good for her, honestly. Let her live it up. Giselle's actually obviously the most tacky person in the entire world.
Yeah.
Just like, I've never liked her from the get-go.
Me neither.
Because also all those women remind me of, like, people I sort of grew up around. So I was
the Baltimore
them immediately.
Area. Yeah.
Well, because I grew up in Pasadena, but it's like that, like,
the same vibe.
Black, upper elite. It's like all the same. And then Candace versus Monique. I was always Team Monique, and I feel bad because Monique has brain rot, but she,
her fucking bird. Was she the one who was like, she had a huge bird, right?
But she was like, she's true and honest, and was doing her best. And
Monique just got a divorce too.
Her husband was a piece of shit. He scared me. It was bad. It was a bad situation.
I only watched two seasons of it, and it started really bumming me out because I felt like I couldn't feel like anybody liked each other, except maybe Giselle and Robin.
That's where they're at in the current season. This current season
and
was really hard to watch. I've been comparing it a lot to this recent, or the current season of Vanderpump, because it's like no one likes each other. So it's like there's no movement.
Jacob has literally watched one. He's only watched this season. He even watched last season.
Annie, you are so close to the mic.
I don't care.
I can like hear your sound like.
Because every time we do an episode, you have a big opinion, and I'm like, you can't.
It was one of my favorite. Like, I was Vanderpump before, like, any of the Real Housewives. I'm like, Vanderpump is my go-to. And then I tried during Scandal to start from the beginning, and I was like, this is evil. This is like an evil entity. I can't
It's all pretty evil.
Yeah.
I miss it,
I really only have the bandwidth for two at a time. I cannot watch. The only Housewives I watch is Salt Lake, actually.
Really? Are you okay?
It's really dark energy. I am glued in, but it's dark.
I did say when it first started airing, you're going to start seeing a lot of takedowns of the Mormon church.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be exposing that, and you're going to just start seeing it. And then we had, I think, 3 docs within a year of the first episode airing. And then, the further crumbling of, like, the United States, which good.
Which good. Which thank you. Which thank you, Heather.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you, Heather. Thank you, Mary Cosby, you psycho scary woman.
She's coming back, allegedly.
I heard.
If you come for me, I will send Jesus after you.
I think she's channeling her dead grandmother. I don't think she's present.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair. I hope somebody says that about me. You know what I mean?
I just ignore her. She's channeling right now.
I really do think, like, she left. Like, when her grandmother died, she was like, okay, I'll take over the church, aka your soul. And I'm gone.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're going into our boundaries portion, which I was going to say, because we just talked about a boundary you set personally with reality TV, but I do want to hear any of your current boundaries. One of my boundaries, actually, last week I was talking about it, I started rewatching Sex and the City.
Yes.
and now I have to set a boundary that I can't watch it now. Because why? I'm acting out.
Yeah.
I am mirroring Miranda and what's his face? Steve.
Wow.
I am doing it at Sean, right? Because Sean's a bartender, Sean's a cook and Steve's a bartender, right? And in a way, I have red hair and I'm a Capricorn. You know?
Sean does kind of have Steve vibes. Not fully, but a little. Yeah. A little.
And we got in a fight last week where I'm not even joking. I had just finished watching the episode where she stays up waiting for Steve after work and then he falls asleep.
Yeah.
And Sean came home at midnight and I almost said the same dialogue.
Wow, yeah.
And I said, and then I had therapy the next day and I told Stephanie that and she said, yeah, you need to stop.
Yeah.
She was like, that's really funny you did that, but you should stop doing that.
Don't you act out after watching Vanderpump? Like, don't you have to set yourself a boundary for that?
I act out after watching The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to, there's no veil between TV and reality for me. And then I'm using it as a megaphone, I think. So I think I bought some beads and I'm going to start making bracelets and stuff.
Yeah.
A bi woman purchases beads as the elixir.
So, honey, something's gotta give. Something's gotta give. I just gotta start using beads and not TV, you know?
That you come from a long lineage of bi women using beads to like cope.
So each of you will be getting a bracelet.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, what other boundaries do we got?
My boundary is with my spending. Here's the thing. I don't like the show Vanderpump Rules. And I need to stop spending money. And yesterday, for no reason at all, I bought Sheena Shea merch.
That is so twisted.
Jacob, that is so twisted that you are coming at it every week and then you bought merch. Fucking sick. You're fucking sick.
If there's one thing I'm going to do, it's buy merch.
What is the merch? I didn't even know she had merch.
It's all happening.
It's a baseball cap that says good as gold.
Oh, I knew it was going to say good as gold.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, okay.
Well, I need a hat for the summer and then I was like...
excusing it immediately posturing. Well, listen,
for you to be taking, you're taking our you're taking like our community. God. Well, so please wear it next week during our next recording.
Of course, if it comes in at that point. So my boundaries with myself always. I think my boundary's been with myself every single episode.
Yeah.
Cam, do you have a boundary?
I
you can set one with us, even.
Yeah, we can take one.
Bye. I hang up. I think a lot of my boundaries are happening, like, with, because it's weird, because right now I'm in a place of parameters versus boundaries.
Dive into that. I want to hear what that means for you.
Yeah. Well, I've been in a lot of therapy. And I'm actually in a lot of therapy this month in particular. And I think in it, I think I'm someone, because I'm Scorpio rising, where I'll put up a wall and it'll be like a big, yeah, blockage between me and what I perceive as the other person, but I'm really like blocking parts of myself. And I've working through and with my therapist talking about like parameters and like what that feels for me, like for me is like there's a fence that I can see through, a gate, and there's a door that I can choose to open or close and I can still see through it. And so I think though, there's just like, I got really harmed by the clown community last year. And there's still some like seeping of like energy there. And I think I just started putting more parameters between me and that community, even though I love so many individuals in it. But I think there just is like, it just is so clogged and it doesn't feel like a safe space for me. And I did believe like it was for a long time, not to like call out the clown community.
No, that's what this is for.
But, like, but like, I think I just need... I think I just wanted community for so long, and now I'm in a place where it's like community is the people that you bring close to you and individuals and what you can create together, and not like this entity that could be used to like control. And so I think a lot of like my parameters and boundaries are around like who I let in close to myself. And I definitely have been more vulnerable over the last couple of years and letting more people in. And I think it was important for me to do that. But right now it's like, I do have perception and I do have like, I can distinguish what's good for me and what isn't, and to listen to that. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that though. Like being at like a fence instead of a wall.
Yeah.
Cause I'm the same way. If someone, I'm just like, fuck, I'm done with you. Yeah. And then you're like, that's actually affecting you more than them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's like, and then you're the one, whatever. Is that like drinking the poison or whatever?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I love that.
I love therapy. I'm happy.
I want to talk to you more about the somatic stuff you told me about.
Yes. That's what I learned. Yeah. Somatic therapy has changed my life.
Wait, do you, like in like one or two sentences, want to say what that is? Because I'm so curious.
Yeah, it's more about like feeling like where energy might be stuck or placed, honestly, in your body, and like speaking to that, giving that space, and like just moving energy like throughout the body. So it's a very like body thing.
Yeah.
But it's also like soul, what it says to you. Like I'm learning how to listen to my body more.
Yeah, I did a little bit of it and I was like, oh, it's less for me, it's less about analyzing what's going on and just identifying it. And you're like, oh, it's not the mind, it's like the body.
It's the body. I think my first session, I was starting to talk to the person and I was getting choked up and they're like, wait. Actually, you're about to cry. So why don't we just let you cry for a bit? And I just cried for like 10 minutes before I even said anything.
Wow.
I love that.
It was amazing. And honestly, this is so crazy, but like Blair Bogan is the person who brought me that therapist because they see them and like helped me with astrology. And like Blair, if you're listening, which I know maybe you're not, is like sort of become like, maybe she doesn't know, but like such a mentor to me and just like has helped change my life. So it's just like, that is just like one person who I think is like just helped. Like, I find community with them, and I feel really appreciative of them.
We need to have Blair on.
You should have Blair on.
Blair's in the class I've been teaching. Yes. She's so great. So funny.
Yeah, she's been having a great time. You should have Blair on. Yay. You should, honestly.
We should have her on, Jacob. She sucks. She rocks. Ellie! No, we can edit that out.
No, we have to keep that in. We should have her on. She sucks.
Okay. plugs?
Do you have anything you want to plug?
Doing your solo show this in the coming months?
Yeah,
coming weeks
I'm
now?
Actually in May. I just booked this yesterday, May 5th and 19th. I'm doing my solo show, God Vessel. And then on the 26th, I'm going to do something new. I don't really know what it is yet.
On my birthday?
Yes, yes, you should come. It'll be at noon on a Sunday.
Oh, hell yeah.
And it's like me and the person who does music for me for God Vessel, we're just going to be improvising with music and me like doing comedy. I don't really know what it's going to be yet. But
where can people find tickets and get info about this?
Yeah, I think all the tickets are going to be like at the door. So you just show up and then,
where's God Vessel going? Where are you
doing? It's all going to be at PDA and I'm going to do a post.
Oh, sick.
I'm actually going to like look today and see a good chart astrologically for me to like launch all of this information.
Yeah.
But it'll probably be like after Mercury is out of retrograde.
Right.
Yeah.
You probably find That's this fair. Stuff like through your Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you just go on my Instagram, I'll do a post.
At Cameron Farmer.
Yeah.
Yay.
Ankles, do you have anything?
I'm like trying to do the math of when this is coming out. I'm doing a show on May 9th at Junior High, which I already plugged, and then another show on the 10th at the Yard with Emily Maverick.
Yes. Oh my God.
But those are the main things I have coming up.
Is it just just you and Emily?
It's some show where like we create a like we're doing like a 10-minute. I'm not
yes,
exactly
I know what
sure,
you're talking about.
But yeah, we're doing it because her and I did a bit together one time on Twin Flames, and I was like, I love making stuff.
Oh my
stuff
gosh,
with her.
The cowboy thing.
Yeah,
I remember that. It was so good. Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah,
I'll be there.
Yay! Okay, Jakey.
Just monthly at Elay Tea Bar in Andersonville. Come hang out.
Amazing.
Come hang out.
Yeah. This was such a gift having you on, Cameron,
Thank
and lovely
so
meeting
you.
Thank you
so much for having me on. This was really such a blast. It was so lovely meeting you. So great seeing you, Annie. And
so
Annie, I would like to walk around the Rose Bowl with you because I heard that's something you've been doing.
It's something I've been doing. I like that's my office hours is the Rose Bowl. I'll text you.
Okay, great.
Yeah, this was so great. Thank you so much, Cam. This was
Thank
like
you, truly.
That's what we needed.
This is just what I needed.
Okay.
Aw. Thank you for listening to Dr. Diva, folks.
Bye, Doctor.
Bye, Diva. Dr. Diva is hosted by Annie Parody and me, Jacob Crow. It is edited and produced by Ali Kiltz. Music is by Austin Schauer, and Billy Buck did our show art.